you're not enjoying the ride. Come on. Come on, somebody. Life is good. You ought to be happy. Billy's happy. Life is good. You know, if it's not good, you probably need to go back and fast another 21 days. Because if you fasted 21 days, life is good. You know life is good. You can feel the nearness of the Holy Spirit. I loved, Zach, I loved reading your devotion this yesterday, finishing up, and just declaring how much, how impactful the 21 days Devo has been for him, for his life. And you know what? It has been for myself as well. There are over 58 people, maybe more, signed up on the YouVersion, and I was so proud of all of you. It's watching some of your commentary and some of the things that God was stirring in your heart, and I want to encourage you. That's what we need. That's what we need as a body. That's what you need as a person, a follower of Christ, a disciple of Jesus, to have lordship in your life. You can't do it alone. You can't do it alone. You can't do it your way. I can't either, and so we need all of these aspects. We need that fasting, times of prayer. We, last Tuesday, we took every card, every one of your 21 days prayer cards, every request, we took them, laid them out here. We white labeled the backside that you didn't write on, and then we just sat in the presence of the Lord after worship and wrote a word that we felt like was from the Lord for each one of those prayer requests, or a verse that connected to it, whatever it was, so that we can keep them in prayer and watch as God does the miraculous through your in your lives through those prayers. And so that should be very encouraging. And I don't know if you know that. That's what the kingdom of God and the body of Christ does. That's what we do. That's who we are. That's what it looks like in a healthy environment, in a healthy church. And so today, continuing health, because healthy things grow and healthy people grow. When healthy people grow, so does everything around them. And that's what we're looking for, is healthy followers of Christ. And we're only healthy for as much as we will actually allow lordship in our lives. You know, we even sang the songs of New Wine, and that's really was a lordship song. And you can only have the next song, Pour Your Spirit Out, if he's not going to pour his spirit out on somebody who's not willing to have lordship in their lives. You can proclaim and call and then beg all you want, but it ain't going to happen until you're willing to humble yourself to his ways. And so that kind of plays into our first verse here. See, we're not there yet. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Our first verse is trust in the Lord with all your heart, everything, all your heart, in every domain of life. We've already talked about time. We've talked about thought life. We've talked about treasures. Honor the Lord, trust in the Lord, rather, with all of those things in every area of your heart, anything that takes up residence in your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. That's what we sang in New Wine. Don't let me lean on my, don't let me change my understanding completely. Let the old flames, don't let me hold on to them. Let me get ready. Let me get ready for the new. And that is the heart attitude of a disciple of Jesus Christ. One who follows Jesus should always be being renewed. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge him. And to acknowledge him is not to have an awareness that he's there. No, it means to humbly yield in acknowledgement. Humbly yield to his ways over my ways, over your ways. Meaning, here's what I would do, but here's what he says. And so I'm going to, in that way, acknowledge him. And then the beautiful byproduct of us acknowledging him or honoring him, humbling and surrendering to his ways, is then he begins to direct our paths. And guess where he's going to direct our paths? It's going to be a righteous path. It's going to be good. It's going to be perfect. It's going to be according to his will. It's going to be a path of blessing. It's going to be a path of growth, of favor, of grace. But look how we get there. By yielding our ways to his ways. So we have all authority and power and control to be able to have favor, grace, mercy, and the blessings of God through our humility and honoring his ways over our ways. You see how this works? That's lordship. I just explained lordship to you. And he says, do not be wise in your own eyes, meaning, you know, here's what you think, but here's what the Lord says. Fear the Lord, meaning have a reverent humility and honor towards the Lord. Don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him. If you have something to hide
or you're guilty or shame, that you're feeling the condemned, then you're going to be afraid of him, but that's not what he wants. Have a reverence towards him, a humility, an honor towards him, towards his ways, towards his presence. Be in surrender, and then depart from, really, it's your own way, evil, because it contradicts with his way. And so this is how we find lordship. Proverbs 15:33. Let me give you another one. Okay. I guess we went two. I don't know what's going on back there. Proverbs 15:33. Wisdom's instruction is to fear the Lord. Again, humility, honor, and reverence. And humility comes before honor, meaning you won't receive honor until you, he won't honor you until you start to humble yourself. And we all want to be honored. And again, favor, grace, mercy, blessings come with honor, him honoring us. And God is just honoring that person. What? Why? Through humility. And then here's the other part of that. You won't honor him. We won't honor him until we're humble. Because proud people won't honor him. And remember, we talked last week, it said, honor the Lord with all of your wealth. Well, pride inside of us won't honor the Lord with any of our wealth. And so we don't find honor because we're not honoring, and honor comes from humility. I have to be a humble person to honor. And so this is where God's trying to get us, and we don't understand on the side of our human logic because we think that, why? They do this way. The world does this way. It seems like they have a lot of favor, but God has a whole other way of turning this world upside down through our humility and our honoring of his ways. And so what we're trying to get to today, but we need the foundation. I'm not sure which way this is going. We need the foundation of lordship, but we also need to understand we need to have lordship over our trusted friends. The trusted friends. And if you don't know, I'm trying to use, there's a T in every one of these. Time, thoughts, treasures, trusted friends. So so we're going T's. All right, there you go. If you haven't picked up the rhythm. So lordship over our trusted friends. In order to have, I'm going to give you four things. One of those is God-guided friendships. I've got to have God-guided friendships, meaning I've got to give God some say into who my friends are going to be. You ever thought about that? You ever said, God, who are these the people you have for me? Is this what you have for me? What they carry on them, should I allow that to have influence in me? You know, the five people you surround yourself with, that's what you're going to look like. The five people that you hang out with, is that what you want to look like in life? Are they carrying the attributes that you so desire to obtain in your life? Because that's what you will look like in the next 5 years. And if that's not yielded to God, it will not lead you towards God's good, perfect, pleasing and perfect will. It will not lead you towards his best for your life. You can fight, you can pray, you can do all those spiritual that turned into religious things. But until you start to allow God to have lordship in these areas, and this one today is trusted friends, you will not find the fullness of what he has for you. Philippians 2:3 says this, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. And you can kind of get to feel who has a little bit of conceited selfish ambition. You know, don't do it because you need something from them. Beware of the people who are just trying to get something out of you. That they're just trying to find personal gain. Don't try to be somebody who's just trying to get personal gain. But rather in humility, value others above yourself. What can I bring to this table? How can I honor this person today? How can I bring value to this person's life? God uses friendships to help us grow spiritually. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Speaking of that, boy, we're trying to cut some trees down, get some trees up over on a property on Farm to Market 2494 so that we can bless this church, have a larger common space. We sure do need some men with at least one arm, and half of them can have a chainsaw so we can get some work done out there. This coming Saturday, February 1st, we're going to have some guys out. We just need 2 hours at a time. That's it, 2 hours. We don't need all day. We don't need half a day. 2 hours, we can get as much done as we need. And then the next Thursday or Saturday, as you can show up, we just need 2 hours a day. That's it. You sit on your phone for 2 hours. Come out and have some fun with some guys. Shoot the you-know-what, you know, cut some logs. Have some fun. Because we need a good return on that labor. If either of them falls down, don't worry. One can help the other up. That's good news. We need that. We need somebody that can be there whenever I'm slipping, I'm falling, it's not going well. We like people around here. Don't serve alone. It's really a military term. Don't do life alone. No one should be serving alone. No one. Friendships are a gift from God for mutual support. I need it. You need it. You need it. Guess when you don't need it? When you didn't know you were going to need it. And thank God somebody was right there. Why? Because you pre-invested into that relationship. You stretched out and asked for help. You stretched out and said, hey, I'd like to hang out. I just need to be together. I need to be around somebody. I don't want to, but I need to be. John 15, 12, 13 says, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You need somebody that you're willing to lay your life down for them, and they, you know, that they would lay their life down for you. If you don't have that, the only way to get that is to become that for someone. Asking God to guide your relationships. Asking God to give you people. Asking God for favor in relationships. But we should be people, especially in a world where we're so focused on differences. Why don't we shift that and say, while we recognize differences, we're learning to celebrate those differences. My stepdad, Billy, he said, you know what? You're going to have friends, and you're going to wonder, how in the world are we ever friends? You just got to have friends for the sake of having friends sometimes. They're completely different from you, but you can't judge people. You just need friends. You need friends. You need people around you who are not going to judge you for being you, yet they will also help you to be your best you, and you need to be a friend who will not judge somebody for being them, but you will help them be their best them. Is that clear? We need that. We all need that in our lives. But true God-honoring friendships begin when we humble ourselves and we allow God to take the lead in our relationships. Have you ever allowed God to take the lead in your friendships? And so by surrendering our closest connection to his lordship, we create space for him to guide us, to shape our relationships, to help lead us into the right relationships. Why? Because ultimately he wants to guide us into these relationships for his glory. He's got a plan. He's even got a plan through our friendships. He's got a plan through our relationships. We need people that will pray over us regularly. We need people who we are praying over regularly. We need people who will ask God to strengthen us. We need to be praying for others that God strengthens them. We need people to pray over us that God uses us according to his will, and we need to be praying over friends around us that he will guide them according to his will. This is how the body works together. We have to be intentional in seeking out relationships that encourage our faith and challenge us spiritually. Don't let us sit there like a bump on a log. Help us to get up out of ourselves, because in and of ourselves, we will never find the fullness of what God has called us to. We need to be able to have people that challenge us to reflect God's love. We have to humbly assess our own roles in the friendship. What do I bring to this friendship? What am I bringing to this table of relationship? Am I giving what I do have to offer? Because let me tell you, if you're in Jesus Christ, you have a lot to offer. You just have to tap into that a little bit. Am I intentionally bringing something to the table of this relationship? What we get to find unity and joy and meaningful friendships rooted in humility and devotion to God. I need people that are growing. You know, I will only grow as long as I have people who are challenging me in my growth, in my walk with Christ, in my journey, in my development of Christ, in the calling that God's called me unto. I will only grow if I have people that are challenging me along the way, and I'm receiving and giving that challenge. That's just the process of growth through resistance. And number two is this. Accountability foundation. We have to set and have an accountability foundation in our relationships. Proverbs 27:17, you've said this 1,000 times. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens. Who is sharpening you? And if the person around you is dulling you, then you need to find new friends. If you feel more dull from being in the presence of someone else, you need to reconsider that friendship. Are they building me up or dulling me down? Can I go cut a tree after hanging out with them because they sharpened me? Or am I just spinning my wheels because I spent time with them? James 5:16 says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you might be healed. You may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. If you're not walking in the power, the effective power of God, it may be because you don't have trusted ones who are praying for you. And if the effective power of God is not moving on your behalf, it may be because you don't have trusted friends who are humble to God's way around you. See, all these things work together to create an empowered individual, one who's walking the favor, the blessings, the giftedness of God. We're hitting it from all angles, and it requires not an independent spirit, but one who is welcoming to community and the body of Christ. Better is open rebuke than hidden love. Boy, that needs to be trending in these days. Oh, I love when they openly rebuke me. Whew. Man, he just rebuked me. I got the rebuke of a decade. So good. So good. Love it. No? What does society do now? Runs. Oh, you hurt me. You didn't. That was so mean. Well, maybe. Because when your pride hurts, and your ego is so connected to your pride that you don't really know who you are in God's ways. Yeah, it hurts. It hurts. But it sure does bless you later, because wounds from a friend can be trusted. Because God's using that individual and their relationship with God to help shape, sharpen, mold, to help that we become powerful and effective for the kingdom of God. That's what trusted friends who love God do for us. But an enemy... I just love you. You're so bad. You're the awesome dude. You're a rock star. Yeah. Always needs you for the sake of themselves, not for how they can bless you. You know the type. Needs you to continue in the path, the journey that they are continuing in, so that they don't feel guilty and shameful for continuing in the path that they are in. I was out doing some church coaching this week in Houston at a church, and the pastor and I were talking. He said, you know what, when you get out of prison, you got people, you got friends that they will buy you drugs, they will buy you alcohol, they'll even buy you a hotel so you can hook up with women, but they won't buy you a meal. As long as you're doing the same things that make them feel comfortable in their own skin, they're all for it. We need to start to embrace open rebukes, challenges, things that contradict our emotions, attitudes, behaviors, and even what we say half the time, so that it aligns with the will and the word of God. When I know somebody is truly carrying the heart of God and love for me, then I welcome their open rebukes and correction. If I know they're walking with God, please, don't leave me out there to dry up and die. Speak it. Speak it in love. Let it be packaged in wisdom. Let it be packaged in the heart of my best interests because you care. Don't be devoid of that. Don't let me suffer because you're afraid to package the truth in love with grace and mercy. In fact, not only do I welcome them, I need them because I can allow my heart to begin to lean on its own understandings in areas of my life. I can devotion, I can be in the word, I can be praying, I can be fasting, and I can be choosing to lean not on my own understanding, to trust in his ways, but let something frustrate me a little bit that hasn't come under the conditioning of the Lord, and all of a sudden, I want to lean on my own ways. You know what I'm saying? I need somebody to, well, brother, why don't we just bring that on in to Jesus? You need that. I need that. We need that. And left alone, that's dangerous. Left alone is dangerous without those who will wound us in a healthy way. Galatians 6:1 says, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently." Restore. We should be so eager to check ourselves before we riggedy wreck ourselves, get the log out of our own eye, and then come gently to restore a brother or a sister in their time of need. It says, but hey, watch yourselves, or you may also be tempted, carry each other's burdens, and in this way you'll fulfill the law of Christ. And this is where you also got to watch yourself not to restore a brother or a friend gently, because if you can carry the powerful, effective presence of God, but if you're not delivering the powerful, effective prayer and the power of God into someone else's life, and they're sitting there staying in their sin, not being corrected or addressed, eventually you're going to start carrying that same sin or adjusting and adapting to that same sin because it's not being corrected in the relationship environment. That's how you get tempted. You know you should have said something. The Holy Spirit welded up inside of you, but you didn't want to be mean. And instead of taking it and saying, how can I condition this, Lord, so that this person will at least hear what I'm saying and that I'm packaging it in the most loving way possible, but I got to deliver it. That's what the world needs. That's what your friends need. That's what we need. That's what I need. That's what you need. So that we not be tempted together. Carry one another's burdens. I mean, if they're really trying to walk this thing out, they're really trying to be beside them. If they really have a repentant heart and a humble heart, and they really are people of change and transformation, walk it out with them. Be with them through the process. This is why our tribes are so important. This is why small groups are so important. Finding, molding together, sculpting out these relationships that will save your life, will empower you, that will help you along the journey of every up and down that it comes with. In fact, your true discipleship and ultimately how you thrive in life will always be a reflection of who you allow to speak into your life and the level of correction you're willing to receive. Who's speaking into your life? How much correction are you willing to receive? That's how much your life, your discipleship, and your ability to thrive in life will progress. You get to choose what that meter looks like. Trusted friendships should sharpen our character and deepen our faith. I need people that are causing me to think and ponder about the things of God a little bit more, to challenge my own ways. When God is Lord over our relationships, we hold each other accountable and inspire growth. We hold each other accountable. We have to commit, though, to regular times of fellowship. Nope, here's what I'm doing. Here's what we're doing. It's important. I need to be taken care of, developed, discipled, and I need somebody. I need to be in touch with the needs of the discipleship of someone else. This is what tribes do. This is why we encourage you towards tribes. This is why draft day is starting today. Hey, this is why we're giving away a TV to get you into a tribe. This is why we're having one service on Super Bowl Sunday so we can rally people around getting plugged into this type of trusted relationships. Do you have anybody to ask you, how you doing? And actually care for the response. Do you have anybody that will literally, or you can literally go and say, hey, how do you receive me? What is the experience that you have when we get together? Whew. You'll let somebody speak into that. You'll allow some space for somebody to give their best understanding of how they experience you. There are great benefits, though, in becoming vulnerable and searching out these right types of trusted friendships. We get to experience growth through this God-centered accountability. And the joy of witnessing others, there's no greater momentum building for me to build relationships with others than to see the Daniels start to grow spiritually. The Terrys start to come alive spiritually. The Petes to start to, I've watched Pete come alive over the last 10 years from having his head down on a mission trip, barely getting him to speak, to now he's just, well, what can I do next? From the Cates, you all have a story and you're somewhere in that journey of the story, but we need people around us to test us, to try us, to correct us, to rebuke us, to sharpen us, to listen to us and to speak into us. And you get to witness the joy of the faith of others flourishing. Man, give me some of that right there. That is spiritual manna. That is spiritual manna. Number three is this, wise friendships. Oh man, I gotta have some wise friendships. A talebearer reveals secrets. That's how I know they're not wise. That's how I know, cut. They're starting to tell secrets about other people who aren't in the room. They're starting to bring drama in the house. Ain't nobody got time for that. They're starting to tell stories from the backside from somebody else in a dishonoring way, especially. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit, they got it all. They know it. They just ain't telling anybody about it. Those five friends, are they telling other people's business when they're not around? Are they naysaying about other people? Are they causing discord about other people? Because if so, they are not your people. Not if you want to grow. Not if you want to find favor and the blessings of the Lord. Now, I'm not saying don't have a lost friend so you can stay in touch, but don't have a lost friend that influences you like that. Don't have a friend in the church that is influencing you like that. You need to correct them so that God can check them. They need an open rebuke when they start doing all of this so that they can be reminded who they are in Christ, because they must have forgotten. But I can tell you one thing, you don't want to spend a max amount of time with them, because it won't be long, you'll be tailbearing. Oh yeah, and you know what else they did? What have I done? It happens just that quick, doesn't it, Miss Hattie? It does. I don't know how I got caught up in this. You were in the environment. Where there is no counsel, the people fall. You see, a lot of these times, these talebearers, they won't receive wise counsel. You try to counsel them, try to pastor them, you try to give them accountability, they flee. And some kind of old school baby trauma pops up, and they start to make you like you're their villain. And then they go and talebear. Anybody ever had that happen to them? Let's not have that happen to me every month. Shoot. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I'm going to put myself around wise counsel, people who I see they're walking with Jesus, and they are on their own spiritual journey, and they are fighting for their relationship with the Lord, and it looks like it. They're not trusting in their own ways, but they're leaning in Him. Please speak to me. Give me wise counsel. I'm circling myself with those people. Because I will grow. I know as a byproduct of faith in God's word, I will grow. This will cause growth in my own life. Proverbs 12, 26. The righteous choose their friends carefully, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Man, I'm giving you some good guidelines on how to choose friends. I'm giving you some wisdom right here. And I hope you're sitting there analyzing, man, am I that person? How am I in those situations? Or are they this person? Do my closest friends or the people I associate with frequently and often, do they have more influence in my life than I do in their life? Can I tell you this? After I got saved, all the people I used to lead astray, they were still my friends from high school. Once a year in around April, I would fly back from Austin because I didn't have a driver's license, y'all. Hey, come on. I'd go hang out with them. I'd make sure I had a way out because I wanted to make sure I was influencing them towards Christ more than they were influencing me towards our old ways. I would never, once I finally got my driver's license, I never put myself in the vehicle with them. No, I'll follow you. I'll be there. And the moment I started to feel it creep up inside of me, God, deuces, I'm out of here. I'm gone. I got to go. Same thing. 10, 15, 20 years later, I go to bed early. They're still partying all night long. But I do know that I can influence them towards Christ. And every one of them do go to church now. They have kids. They're attending church. They understand the need for their kids to attend church. But there's still a little bit of edge. Hey, we all have growth. But if they're influencing you more than you're influencing them, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Go here. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffer harm. Listen, the word of the year that the Lord has given me is wisdom. And I want to walk in the most wisdom I possibly can. And I can't do that if I'm not walking with the wise. So ain't nobody got time for all the other stuff. I'm trying to find wise people that I can do life with, so I can walk with, that will challenge me and spur me along for more growth, and that I too can challenge, and they will receive the spurring along for more growth. I want to be around people who are being effective for the kingdom of God, not just trying to have a good time. I've had plenty of good times, and I don't mind a good time. But do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character. And if the God's word says that, then I have to trust that, and I have to let this give me a guideline of who I hang around. And so I need to invite the Holy Spirit into our conversations. I need to have a heart check, a real heart check on how is this going? What's the feel in this environment with this friend or these friendships? Does something feel off or feel right? I need to be in tune with what the Holy Spirit is calling me, is leading me, and is guiding me. Because trusted friends want me to grow closer to God and his methods or his ways and his words. But people I can't trust, because the closer you get in a relationship, the more vulnerable you become, whether you know it or not. And the more vulnerable you become, the more moldable you become. And I need myself to be in the presence of people that I can be vulnerable around and be molded towards the purposes and the calling and the will of God in my life. And that only happens if they're willing to achieve theirs and seek after their own. So I need to seek friendship with people who are rooted in Scripture and committing to growing their own life. Why? Because I want a network of godly friendships that align me with God's will and uplift me for the spiritual journey. This is what you want ultimately. The God-man inside, your spirit who connects with the Holy Spirit, who has been given you by Jesus to connect you back to God the Father, this is ultimately what that spirit being wants. A network of godly friendships that align you with God's will and uplift your spiritual journey. This is what tribes does. This is what community does. This is what healthy relationships look like. And guess what? This isn't natural, because we all come out of dysfunction. Many of us are still in dysfunction, but we all come out of dysfunction in our lives. And number four is this, I want kingdom-focused friendships. I want some people that are hungry for the kingdom of God to grow. Matthew 18:20 says this, okay, keep switching back and forth on me. It says, for where two or three are gather in my name, there am I with them. Man, that's good news, because I want some people that we're planning, we're thinking, we're carrying the heart of God. We're praying into what God is doing next. And do you know that where Christ is not honored, when two or three are gathered, Christ is not honored if there's gossip, tale-bearing. If those two or three are gathering to talk about other people or to naysay about another place or people group, let me tell you who's there. Satan is there. He shows up in that room, and he starts to encourage dysfunctional behavior. And you'll know it. If you're close to the Holy Spirit, you'll know it, because he'll start to light up that spirit man inside and say, something ain't right. This ain't Mama's Norma kid cooking. This don't pass the mom test. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are now doing. Do you have anybody that encourages you and builds you up? like that speaks life into you, that just speaks the breath of God and the favor of God over your life to encourage you, to remind you sometimes when you forget, because I forget, we can forget, we can get discouraged. Man, what is going on? It feels like I'm in a valley. What is? No, you remember what happened. You remember what God did in the past through this, and you keep looking at what he's going to do. I've had my wife there through the early beginnings of this church, and often she had to remind me, humbly, I'd have some tears, broken, just hurt, wounded. I'd be my head on her chest, and she's treating me like a little baby. Don't you forget what the Lord said. He said he was going to give you more support than you can imagine when you did this. That's right. Suck them tears up, wipe and get off, use a box of Kleenex, and get back at it. Why? Because I was vulnerable, humble, and I allowed people to remind me of what the promises of God, the vision of God is over my life, until it finally seeped into those areas where before I get wounded, beat up, and want to give up, but nope, that's just part of the game. We're going to keep on rolling. And every time, God just does what he does. And he brings and he sifts out the wrong people and he brings in the right people. And I'm ever so thankful for it. But God is doing it. We need people that encourage us, that set an environment of encouragement around us. Hebrews 10:24, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some have done, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. I want people, I'm talking about, how can we further the kingdom of God? What can we do in this country? How can we continue to grow and help these churches grow? I want some people that the kingdom of God and the church of God, the bride of Christ, is on their mind, is on their heart. And we're trying to figure out how to get creative ways from heaven, how we can make a huge difference, an everlasting change. That's what I need in my life. That's what you want in your life. You may not know it yet, but that's God's best for you. That's God's best for us all. And God calls us to love, to serve, and impact others as a community. He brings people into a church to make an impact in the community. Not just the house, but the community. We come in and we breathe, and then we exhale out into the community. Just being very open, the friendships I try to circle myself with these days are for the purpose of doing something eternal. I need to have fun because I can get too serious, but I need people around me who are about the business of kingdom of God. In my life right now, in this season of life, I want to do something that makes a difference. I want to do something that actually impacts the well-being of other human beings, because God's heart is that every human being be restored back to his heart. That's what moves me these days. That's what burdens me at night. That's what keeps me up and wakes me up and sends me to my knees in prayers. That's what sends me to times of devotion. That's what gives me motivation and inspiration to do everything that I do in a 24-hour period. It's knowing that I can make an eternal impact. And I got people, and there's people that God's bringing around me that we can make an eternal impact together. That's what matters to me in this era of my life. Taking that from Taylor Swift. This is my love era. No, this is my kingdom changing, transformation, making an eternal difference era of my life. The girls know what I'm talking about. Sorry. Because I want a shared purpose and joy as you and your friends serve as instruments of God's grace. Ultimately, down inside of you, that's what you want. And the counterfeit version is anything less than that. And guess who's selling counterfeits these days? The God of this earth himself, Satan. And anything that misaligns with that right there is not God's best for you. Because we don't come to Christ, be developed in discipleship under his lordship, bear fruit, all so that we can do little for the kingdom of God or nothing at all for the kingdom of God. So I'm trying to saturate myself and surround myself with people who want to make a difference. And I want to challenge you this week. I want to challenge you as we move into this tribe season to look at your hand and maybe even write the names of those people that you hang around the most. And you need to really hand them over to God and say, God, is that the best for me right now? And then you may need to have an internal dialogue of, why is it so hard for me to address this conversation, address this individual, and invite them out of a season of my life? That's what some of you need an assignment. Invite so-and-so out of my life for a season. Whew. May have to deal with some soul ties. May have to deal with some identity issues. May have to deal with some insecurities. The work outward may start inward until it just overflows. Or you can just keep doing the same thing that you've been doing for the last 10, 20 years and see where that gets you. But I want to challenge you in the process of transforming those relationships that you dive in to a small group of people who are desiring to be on a similar path of finding freedom, connecting to purpose so that they can make an eternal difference. Are you with me today? So stand up because I want to pray over you. I want to pray over your hearts. This is a literal call to action that you find somebody with this QR code, that you begin to take those five people that are in your life that you already know the Holy Spirit already said, here's the problem. And it can't be your spouse. By the way, you can't be your spouse. You got to stick with, that's your spouse. That's your spouse. No, Pastor Nathan said, no, he didn't. No, he did not. But Holy Spirit, would you give me the boldness and the courage to have the hard conversations with the people that your word obviously says are unhealthy for my life in this season? And Lord, I don't leave them there. I pray that you intervene, that there's an intersection with this intercession, that you bring somebody into their life that they'll actually listen to for heart transformation. Lord, may their minds be renewed. May they not just say they are Christians, but may they follow the ways, the principles, and the word of Christ. And Lord, let me be that same person who is willing and able to give away because of the overflow of what you're doing and I'm allowing in my heart. Holy Spirit, oh, here's another one. Holy Spirit, bring the people around me that will give me an open rebuke when I've gone astray. Sharpen me, Lord. Let iron sharpen my heart through another. And I ask Holy Spirit that you guide me, guide every person here, Lord. Guide them to the right group, to the right people, to the right tribe, Lord, for this season. And may they become ever so humble and vulnerable in the presence of those who you've called them to be surrounded by in this next semester, in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, y'all, let's work.